Our topic for today is Barnabas, a selfless disciple, and we're welcoming our preacher today, Brother Benson Ogunbamiwa, to give the word and to share more about our quarter series, which is the impact of unsung heroes. You're welcome, sir.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you have loaded us with since we stepped into this hall today to worship you. We appreciate you, Lord, for what you're doing in our individual lives. Thank you for where you took us from and where you have brought us to, and your perfect plans that you have for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for even the Bible passages we have read this morning from the Sunday school and even in the readings we just had now. Thank you for the theme you have chosen for your people, and thank you for your word you have continually sent to us. We ask, O Lord, that you will yet speak to our hearts this morning. We worship and adore your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. I'd like to thank God for yet another opportunity we have this morning to share together on Barnabas, a selfless disciple. God has spoken so much to us today on this subject in the Sunday school. And I just wish that we were all here for the Sunday school. And maybe we would not need more than 10 minutes to tidy up those things that God has raised concerning the life of Barnabas, an ordinary man that God's grace transformed his life, who became a blessing to everywhere he went. He was a man that was indeed selfless. He was someone who was endowed with so much grace. He labored over the lives of individuals. He labored in several assemblies. God used him to advance the kingdom of God in his days. There were people whose lives would have not amounted to much but for the service of Barnabas. One of such is a very esteemed apostle, Paul, that we are all familiar with. Paul would have fizzled out and several other lives, several other churches, communities that God took Barnabas into. And I believe that every church needs a Barnabas. And who is going to be the Barnabas for this church? He was just an ordinary man, not much about his background. One of those early converts to the Christian faith. And we could see from his life that he was indeed a selfless man. He was concerned more with the needs of other people, to see them do well in the Lord. He was a genuinely devoted disciple. And I think we have spent a lot of time on Barnabas himself. And maybe those of us who meet the Sunday school should please make sure we collect the outline. I would like to look at the process that produced Barnabas. The process that produced him. And Yeah. How can we, after we have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, how can we come to the full potential, fulfill all that God has on his mind by bringing us into his kingdom? You will see that Barnabas was just one of those brothers who passed through the process of discipleship in the hands of the early church. And it's discipleship that threw up a man like Barnabas. The early church was focused on the mandate of going out to make disciples. And I want to say this morning that the Great Commission is all about making disciples. That's what it's all about. I'd like us to read Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I read from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I'm reading from New King James Version. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. The church in our time is preoccupied with so many things. We seem to have ignored the mandate of going to make disciples. And maybe it's because several of us, after the salvation experience, have not submitted our lives to discipleship. Yeah, people have denominations that they are afflicted with. People have maybe associations, organizations they are affiliated with. And if you look at the church today, I don't know whether it's by demonic arrangement or by our own lack of understanding that we chose to ignore discipleship. Some years ago, I went to preach in a church, and the man who was going to introduce me called my name, and he made some comments. He mentioned the names of some men of God in Nigeria and their emphasis. He mentioned the names of those whose emphasis is prosperity. He mentioned those whose emphasis is demonology. And he went on and he said, "This brother I want to introduce this morning, their own area of emphasis is discipleship." You know, I felt so sad in my heart. I know it's not our own emphasis. It's the emphasis of Jesus. And this is the only way, there is no other way, to grow to become sons indeed in the hands of God. To grow to become all that God intended our lives to be in the kingdom of God. You know, several of us, we've been going to church for years. And you know, we have grown even old on the pew. Some of us have even retired from our earthly career. without even locating what God saved us for. And time is going. You know, when one of us dies, we sing that we are fading away like the stars of the morning and all of that. And the truth is that a lot of people in the church just assume that God saved us, so we come to church, we get involved as much as we want, we use the church when we need the church, we're just casual members of maybe our local assemblies, not realizing the fact that God saved us for a purpose. And we realize from the Bible that discipleship is God's means of achieving his eternal purpose in the lives of the people he has saved. It's not just only men in the Bible. If you read the closing chapter of Romans, chapter 16, you will see a list of several unsung disciples. A list of people that committed their lives to discipleship. And God made something out of their lives. I know people are going to ask me this morning, and must I be a disciple? The answer is yes. We were saved to become his disciples. We were saved to take his yoke on us. We were not saved to just walk away like free rangers. We were saved for a purpose. I want to remind us, thank God that in this church we've been, a lot of work is going on discipleship. And it's my prayer that God will actually raise many disciples in this assembly. Because see, brethren, we were saved to advance God's kingdom in our own generation. God's eternal purpose is that godliness and the doctrine of God will be passed down from generation to posterity. And I want to say this morning, only disciples that God commissions to do such work. Discipleship is a lifelong process of after the salvation experience. When a man is born again, there can be no discipleship without a new birth. There can be no discipleship without a new birth. You will see in John chapter 3, please open your Bible. John chapter 3, let me read from verse 1, maybe to verse 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This man was a leader in what you can call church, among church leaders, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Look at how Jesus told him. He said, it's a must. It's not optional. And I want to remind us, I know the word born again has been so bastardized that we are even afraid sometimes to say I'm born again. Because people will look at you as if maybe you are a fraudster when you say I'm born again. But the truth is that we must be born again before we can realize all the potentials of God in our lives. I know many of us, career-wise, we have found our bearings. We have found our bearings. And many of us, by God's grace, have succeeded in our careers. We are no novices. But do you know that many of us spiritually have not discovered the purpose of which God saved us? We realize that unless a man be born again, experience spiritual rebirth, and this can only happen when one has repented of his sin or her sin. In the Sunday school today, we had many serious discussions as to whether people will be, there is the sin that is in Romans 7, whether we can be struggling when we are babies. So many questions about the salvation experience. And I want to say that a lot of people coming to church have not given their lives to Christ. They are just simply playing church. In fact, some are just identifying with the church so that when they die, the church will give them a very befitting burial. Otherwise, they are in the church, but they are lost. You cannot be saved from sin and walk away without following the Savior. You cannot experience the saving grace of God and be living as you like. You have not yet encountered God. And I also want to say, you cannot say you are born again and you are living in sin. The Bible says, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The question will be, from what did God save you? I am sure you are seeing all this that is happening in this nation. You can see Christians everywhere. From Supreme Court to the lowest court, they are there. Most big organizations, they are there. And yet, the level of rottenness, the level of compromise, the level of wickedness, the level of dishonesty. If you go to INEC, they are there. They are everywhere. You know, one day I was praying, I was telling God, God, should church be shut down for a while? So that people actually sit down to maybe 1 month without church, then you'll be checking, really, where is this God? Do I really believe in God? Who is this God to me? What does this God, what does he mean to me? There can be no salvation experience without repentance from sin. It's not possible. And you cannot be saved from sin without following Jesus. You have not been saved. It's just like saying a father and mother give birth to the baby, and the baby decides not to leave at home. Is it possible? That baby would die now. Huh? I want to remind us this morning some basics. You know, those men and women, those unsung heroes that God used They were just ordinary people like you and I. And I'm telling you, God can use you also. Amen. God can use you. You can fulfill your destiny in Christ. You know, to just be playing church is one of the most wicked things we can do to ourselves. Without serious commitment to the Savior. I know that a lot of the times when we are singing hymns, we may be enjoying the hymns, but I'm sure God is not enjoying those hymns. When we are asking God, okay, God, draw me nearer, and we won't draw near Him. They announced today that there will be discipleship class, there will be discipleship meeting 4 p.m., there will be discipleship class on Tuesday. You can be sure many of us will not go there. You say, I think I'm comfortable this way, I'm following God. And we can't follow God our own way. If God is God. What made people like Barnabas such wonderful tools in God's hand was their complete submission to God. After the salvation experience, a man must take the yoke of God upon his neck. We must. In Matthew 11, let me address some basics. Matthew 11, verse 28 to verse 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever pondered on this scripture? Have you ever, at any time on your own, said, Lord Jesus, I want to take your yoke upon me? I realized something about God. Even when you don't know something, and you go to God and you pray that you want to know it, God has a way of arranging it. He does a divine arrangement by which either you encounter somebody, you go to somewhere, you read a book, and God reveals himself to you. I want to ask, I'm sure if I ask, when was VFC established? Some of you were there when it was established. Some of you have been coming, you're going, coming, going. And you know, churches like members, you know, for so many reasons. The more the number grows, especially for those one-man ministry, the better for the man of God. Thank God you don't have such a system here. But you know, people like Barnabas, they labored for the kingdom. They went after souls, not for any other reasons, but that they might disciple them. That they will make them also, you know, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Anywhere, any opportunity arose, you will see people like him. They will go there to strengthen, to encourage, to support what God was doing in that environment. I'm sure you saw that he was one of the first to sell his house when there was need. So that nobody will lack, that none should lack. He sold his house and laid them at the apostles' feet. How could people follow God in that way? You know the way some of us are following God, you are following God with your brain. When it's convenient, you follow. When it's not convenient, you take a detour. You know, you can't realize your potential in Christ until you personally commit your life to Jesus himself in discipleship. And, you know, in Acts chapter 9, when God encounters Saul of Tarsus, the first thing he asks, he said, "Lord, what will you have me do?" God didn't intervene in that. Jesus told him, "I will lead you to men that will teach you what you are to do." You know, the need to take the yoke on our life, to deliberately surrender your life to Jesus, enthrone him. You are the one that will enthrone him. Jesus will never force himself on any man. You are the one that will say, "Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you." If you check every person that God used one way or the other in the Bible, in the New Testament, you will see they were all disciples. And I want to say that all earthly labor will amount to nothing at the end of death, when we come to die. What is not done for the kingdom of God? What is not done by God through the life of a man? When a life is not surrendered to God, and God is working actively in that life, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that life has just been wasted. Even if one dies at the age of 100, 120, even if you built all the estates in Lekki, all will amount to nothing at the end of the day. So we can see that God's heart desire is that after the salvation experience, we should be willing to follow him closely. And that's why God has people. This Barnabas was one of those that first also discipled Saul. And you saw how God used him. Saul, at a point where we read in chapter 9 of Acts, everybody was afraid. They didn't believe that the man had given his life to Christ. It was this. In fact, he faced a very serious rejection. It was this same man, Barnabas, that God used to help him. In fact, all that the church now benefited from so would have been wasted but for Barnabas. Will you be that kind of a man in God's hand? I'm not asking for you wanting to be a pastor. Everybody wants to be a pastor now. Even those who used to sing, they are all becoming pastors. Because they know there's something there being a pastor. People don't want to serve God selflessly. We have a lot of attention-seeking people in the body of Christ today. You're going about, you see somebody puts his picture and his wife's picture as if they are the ones that died for the church. And there's nothing they are doing but pleasing God's people. This morning I want to make an altar call. Some of you have been coming to church for years, but you have really not put your neck on the yoke of Jesus. If I want, you say, "I don't want to be a bigot." Who told you disciples are bigots? You say, I don't want to do more than this. You will just waste your life. You may die with two PhDs. But at the end, you will just realize that it was a wasted life. Thank God that discipleship work has begun in this assembly. You have a great opportunity now. You don't need to run to the north, to the south, to the east, looking for who will disciple you. God has raised men and women among us. Will you respond to him? Barnabas submitted himself to discipleship. That was the process that made Barnabas to be Barnabas. And I can assure you this morning, if you also submit yourself to discipleship, you will see how great a thing God will make out of your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want you to commit yourself into God's hand. I want you to pray this morning. Lord, I want to dedicate my life to you. I don't just want it to be in a song. You know, we sang this morning, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my... God will say, you've been singing it for years, but you have not surrendered to my molding hand. This morning you have opportunity. I'm not going to call anybody out. I just want you to put your hand on your chest and pray for yourself. If you are responding to God to be his disciple. And if you are here, you have not given your life to Christ. I want you to know that there can be no salvation. There can be no discipleship without salvation experience. The Bible says, that which is born of the flesh forever will remain flesh. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's a must. So this morning, you've been coming to church, but you've still been living in sin. Bible says, anybody who commits sin is of the devil. He said, the devil sinned from the beginning. He said, for this cause was the Son of God revealed that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil, they are the works of the flesh, works of sin. Several of us coming to church, but we are living in sin, immoral life. We are doing deals with ungodly people in the office. This morning, you can give your life to Jesus. And those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, you see, you are rising, you are falling. This morning, you can decide you will be a disciple of Jesus. You will draw near him. You will follow him. You want to follow him. I want you to pray for yourself. Whichever category you find yourself this morning. Don't waste your life. Don't waste life. At the end of the day, all that we count is whether you gave your life to Jesus or not, whether you served God's purpose on earth or not. I want to ask Brother Remy to pray for us.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fact that it is not hidden from us. It is freely available. We bless you, Lord, for the progress that you have wrought in Victoria Fellowship Church. That through the decades, even though initially we ignored the matter of discipleship, the core matter of discipleship. But now, Lord, you have opened that door unto us. And a number of us have gone in. And we have looked back on our past lives as complete rubbish. The light that shines ahead of us, to which the Lord Jesus, our shepherd, is guiding us, and to which we have clung to, that our old nature, our old selves, our old likes have been left behind. The old yoke exchanged for the new yoke of Christ is not burdensome. It has bequeathed to us the life of Christ itself, that we walk in his light, we fellowship in his light, and our lifestyles are modeled on what he desires for us. These unsung heroes that we have studied for the past few months are examples for us, live examples for us. We are not learning something strange or difficult or impossible. Christ has made everything possible. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we diligently continue to pray for our brethren, even in Victoria Fellowship Church, that they may also discover that door of discipleship. Step in and taste and see that the Lord is good. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning's message from you. We thank you, Lord, that seed has been sown. We pray, Lord, for fertile ground, that it may germinate, and that which we had previously stood on and built our lives upon may degenerate to the point where we are able to give it up and to take on that yoke, that awesome yoke, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We know that you are inviting us once again. May our spirits respond positively to this invitation again, that your house may be full with souls, saved souls, to the glory and the praise of your name. We have asked in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.